time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Tonight, moderator Lori Fisher is joined by two panelists, cinematographer and educator Cameron Shaw and technical editor Kira Pace.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And now, here's your moderator, Lori Fisher.
Hey, welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter, and a very, very happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. Hope you can give us an hour of your very valuable time. You might already have started your cooking and shopping, and if you can listen to us for an hour, that would be wonderful. We are very much an audience participation show, and in particular tonight, if you have had caller hesitancy, this is the night to call in. We're going to need your calls. This voice might sound a little unfamiliar to regular listeners. That's because our regular moderator, Dana Rodriguez, who has been moderating the show for 25 years or more, is off gallivanting somewhere. He may even call in. We don't know. But it's Kira Pace and Cameron Shaw and me tonight on the panel here, and we hope you can call into one of these numbers. Area code 415-841-4134. Once again, it's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, amazingly enough, is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And I'll give the same kind of warning in a way to get in early. We'd like a lot of callers, and the sooner you get in, the more likely you'll be able to get on the air and ask your questions. Since Data's not here, you might be able to sneak in a sports question or a post-1952 music question if you like. You can email us. Dana will get the email at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. You can just spell out mindsovermatter and put the numeral 1@gmail.com. And of course, if you're listening live, you can call in. You won't be able to call in if you're live streaming, but after tonight, Joanne, I think we'll post the podcast on klw.org or on Apple or other places that you get your podcasts. So we're looking for a night of eclectic questions, wonderful questions. We appreciate you coming on the week of Thanksgiving. And we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And our first one is that Kira Pace sighs and shakes her head because it seems like Whamageddon starts earlier and earlier each year. Boy, does it.
Yeah, I don't participate, but happy Whamageddon for those who do. This Thanksgiving, Cameron Shaw is mostly excited for her family's post-dinner game of charades, for which she has been saving up diabolical film titles for 2 years. She is looking forward to someone acting out the classic, The Positively True Adventures of the Alleged Texas Cheerleader Murdering Mom.
Excellent.
Yes.
I think your family will get that within seconds. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's my dad's favorite movie, probably.
Of course, I know that. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Tonight's moderator, Lori Fisher, has plenty to be thankful for. Almost everything else is driving him just a little crazy.
I feel it is you. Indeed. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think that might be true for many people. Anyway, so we're going to start with a round of questions, and first will be Kira Pace.
Okay. Actually, let me take that one out. Actually, I'm going to start with my sports question today because it's just a little one-off question. Yeah. I want to know what athlete secured the release of 15 hostages from Iraq in 1990?
Wow.
Right?
1990.
Yes.
90.
So this person, I read this and I'm like, what? I'm sorry. Yeah, 1990. That's correct.
And this person was an active athlete then, or were they a retired athlete turned diplomat?
Retired athlete.
Retired athlete. Okay.
You want to tell us the sports since we don't know?
Or is that
nope. Okay.
I'll
give
just
it away.
Leave it out then. Okay. And I can ask you the question I was originally going to start with until I recently learned that it's an American athlete who secured the release of 15 hostages from Iraq.
So this is a bad guess, but it's not Dennis Rodman, is it?
No, Dennis Rodman, I think, went over to North Korea.
Okay.
I wouldn't call that a bad guess. I think
it's not a terrible guess. I think it's a little early for Rodman.
I
do too.
I think it's early, and I thought he was North Korea, but I'm trying to think of somebody else who did statesman-like activities.
Yes, it was not Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
Okay. And is it an obscure sport? Will you tell us that?
Nope. It is. I will tell you that it is not an obscure sport.
Okay.
And this person, okay, am I right to assume it's a male?
Yes, you can assume that it's a male.
Otherwise, is this person kind of known for their noble character, or are they in other ways notorious?
I think noble character is probably, okay. I think it's fine to say.
Okay. Well, this is good. So repeat the question.
All right. What American athlete secured the release of 15 hostages from Iraq in 1990?
Okay. Cameron, how about you?
Okay. In addition to this year being the 400th anniversary of apparently the first Thanksgiving, it's also November is Native American Indian Heritage Month. So I was thinking about that, and I have a list of the top five cities with the highest percentage population of Native American or American Indians. So I'm wondering if you can tell me what they are.
Sunrise, Florida.
No. Interesting guess, but no.
How about Mesa, Arizona?
I do not have Mesa, Arizona. You're kind of in the right geographical area for a couple
I'm in the right state, maybe. Is that correct?
But yeah, I mean, there's the Navajo reservation is there.
Right, but this is like metropolitan area. Right. Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying probably there are also a lot of Native people outside the reservation in the state of Arizona.
Yes, but Mesa is not the city in Arizona. There is a city in Arizona.
What's the percentages of Native Americans in the city?
Okay, in the city in Arizona
what's the range?
Okay, so the highest I have is 14%, and the lowest of the high numbers, if that makes sense, is 6.1%. Mm-hmm. So okay. The lowest on this list is 6.1%.
Okay, I'm going to get, my second guess will be in Arizona also. How about Tempe? Okay. Tempe,
not,
Arizona?
Okay. Not Tempe. No.
Carrie, you got another guess?
What about Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Not Santa Fe, but there is a city in New Mexico.
Is it Taos?
No. Oh, although I was just there, and it's a beautiful place.
It's almost the answer to the question. Okay, so repeat your question.
Okay. So I have a list of the five cities in the United States with the highest percentage population of Native American Indians. We've narrowed it down to two of them. There's one in New Mexico and one in Arizona, and the rest are up for grabs.
Okay. Usually we go to the phones, and I'm going to ask one more question because these are kind of on the short side, and then we'll turn it over to the phones for a while. The Macy's Day, and so I'm thinking about Thanksgiving questions like you with Cameron. The Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade started in 1924. They started to have balloons right away, but the people associate Mickey Mouse with the early balloons, but that was in 1933. So here's my question. In 1933, along with Mickey Mouse, there was the only time that Macy's had a real-life person represented in a full-size balloon. Who was that? And in addition, before Mickey Mouse, there were five cartoon characters from cartoon strips that were represented by balloons. And I want to know who they were. So pre-1933, which comic strip characters were in the Macy's Day Parade? And in 1933, and I checked and I couldn't find any more. They had, for the one and only time, a show business celebrity who was represented by a balloon. Who was it? I'll give you a couple guesses at that.
The celebrity, was it a cowboy?
No, it was not.
Was it Shirley Temple?
It was not Shirley Lee Temple. Shirley Temple.
For the cartoon characters, is Felix the Cat one of them?
He is. Very good. Ooh,
I have a very similar question. I'm a little annoyed that you scooped me. But
I'm going to run and get the bell in a second. I have a bell, but bing, very good. Okay. Carrie, you have a guess?
What about Popeye?
Popeye's a little later.
Okay.
Did not come before 1933. So the question is, which other cartoon strip characters appeared in the Macy's Day Parade before Mickey Mouse? And in the year Mickey Mouse appeared, which other celebrity, which real life celebrity, show business celebrity appeared with him for the first and only time? And I believe our phones are full. So we'll take our first caller. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Minds Over Matter.
Okay. This is Ed. How are you?
Ed, we're good. How are you doing?
Very good. Well, thank you for welcoming me back last week. So I have a couple of two very good questions. One is about the Genghis Khan Mongol Empire. How many people did this man and his sons and troops killed in the 13th century out of world population? In Asia and Europe, how many? Wow. In millions?
Millions.
Millions, yes.
Millions, not billions, millions.
Take a guess, and I will just give you an answer very quickly. How many
millions? I'm going to guess 6 million.
How about 60?
Wow.
Okay. He did up to 60 million people. In fact, the story is that in 1 hour, he killed about 2 million people. They did.
No.
They were savages. They were horrible. Not only that, one out of 40 men living in Asia and Europe have genes from this man. What wow. What country did end up, pretty much end up the empire? They continued much, much, much smaller in Asia. But one country did the biggest defeat in the Mongol Empire by one of his sons. That he lived with son. Which country?
I'm going with Egypt.
Of course it was. Of course it was. Year 1260 AD. 1260. Not only they defeated the Mongol army, but they annihilated them. They totally destroyed it completely. They continue to do bad thing in Southeast Asia, but they vanished. In fact, one out of 40 people living in Europe and in Asia have genes from Genghis Khan. They just were really, really bad news. Very amazing. Other very, very quick question. Sure. Charles in Latin. What do you call Charles in Latin?
Charlemagne.
No, Charles. Like, you know, Prince Charles.
Oh, is it Caesar?
Say it again.
Caesar?
Carlos.
Okay.
How about John?
In Latin?
Yes. I mean, you know, Latin America, what did he say? Somebody named John. What did he call him?
Oh, Latin America is Juan.
Yeah.
Juan.
Juan, that's right. How about George? How about George?
Jorge.
Very good, very good. Okay, one explanation from last week. When I said it takes one beam of light to go from the sun's surface to us in 8 minutes, but it takes over 70,000 years on the average. The reason for that, speed of light is all the same in a certain medium. But imagine a very drunken man in a very crowded bar trying to make it to the door. That's exactly what the light inside the core of the sun does. It keeps going, bouncing back and forth. And the sun core is so dense, it takes 70,000 years on the average for that tiny particle of light or beam of light to make it to the surface of the sun. I want to explain that to your audience.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Really thank you for welcoming me.
Have a good holiday. Thank you very much.
You too.
Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi, it's Steve Vallejo.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I have a couple of guesses on your balloons. Is Crazy Cat maybe one of them?
Crazy Cat's not earlier than Mickey Mouse.
Okay. How about the Katzenjammer kids?
Yes. Ooh, they were the very first ones in 1929, the first ones from the comic book. Very good. Love that.
Cool. Okay, question for you. In what media did a meal consisting of these foods appear? Toast with margarine, jelly beans, popcorn, and pretzel sticks.
So the question is, in what medium did this meal appear? In what movie or TV show?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Is it a specific movie or TV show?
Yes.
Is it going to be something like It's a Wonderful Life or something holiday?
Something like that.
Okay.
Could you repeat the gourmet foods again, please?
Toast with margarine, popcorn, jelly beans, and pretzel sticks.
Is it It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Okay.
Is that the right era of movie?
No, but it's the right, it's a holiday related.
How about Home Alone?
No.
About A Christmas Story?
I'll give you a hint. It was a Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
Home for the Holidays.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell us somebody who was in the cast.
I'm sorry. Which ones did you guess? Did you say A Christmas Story or did you say Home Alone? Because I'll say whichever one you didn't.
Cameron said both. Both are not right.
It was animated.
Animated.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Right. Correct. That's right.
Very good. So thank you, Steve.
Do you know what year that came out?
It was in the 70s, but I don't know what year exactly.
Yeah, 73.
Nice. Okay.
And then last question is, how many holiday specials were there before for Charlie Brown before that one?
You mean how many Peanut specials?
Yes.
Were the Halloween and Christmas specials before that? So two is my guess.
Yeah, that's right. So it was the 10th TV special, but it was the third holiday special.
Nice. Very good. Thank you, Steve, and happy holiday to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Gene in New York.
Hi, Gene in New York. How you doing?
Good. I'm old enough to remember when Muhammad Ali went to Iraq in 1990, I believe.
That is absolutely correct. Muhammad Ali not only went to Iraq, he actually secured the release of 15 hostages.
Wow.
That's incredible. I did not know that.
Right? I read that. I'm like, am I in a different universe? Because I have never heard this story. That's amazing.
He converted to Islam, right? So that would make sense. So for the top five cities with the highest percentage of Native Americans, what about Tulsa, Oklahoma?
You got it. Tulsa, Oklahoma is number one with 14%. Good job. Yeah,
Oklahoma has a lot of Native Americans. What about here, South Dakota?
No, nothing in South Dakota.
And Albuquerque, New Mexico?
Albuquerque is number three with 7.7%. Great job.
Okay. And the full-size balloon, that wouldn't be Disney himself, would it?
It would not be Disney himself, really. He was never memorialized in a balloon that I know of. It's a great guess, though, but not him, not Walt.
Okay, I have a question. So in 1900, I have a list here of the biggest countries by population in 1900. Now, we're not counting colonies, because otherwise, you know, the British Empire would be like the biggest one. But out of the independent countries, can you name the five five biggest countries by population in 1900?
Good question. Sarah, you got a guess?
Well, the first one's kind of easy, but...
Let's go with China.
Right, so China is number one with 400 million, but the next one is only 87 million.
What about Turkey?
No, not even in the top 10.
How about India?
So I'm not counting India. India would be the second, but I'm not counting it because it was
part of the British Empire at that point.
Okay.
How about Brazil?
That's number 13.
Okay.
1900? What about the U.S.?
Yeah, that's number three with 75 million.
All right.
What about Germany?
Germany is number four with 56 million.
Okay.
We need two more.
How about Russia?
You got it. That is number two. That's the biggest country after China in 1900. 87 million people.
Okay.
The fifth one's not as interesting as I can give it to you if you want. It's Austria-Hungary with 47.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Gene.
That's very good.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good holiday.
You too.
Take care of yourself. Let's take another call before we get another question. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Are you ready?
We are ready.
We're going to go fast through this. You ready? Oh, you remember last week one of the answers was Many Moons? I suggest that everyone read it. It's less than 15 minutes, but it is a great story. James Thurber, Many Moons. But that's triggering me to, this is all M's. Put your lips together. All the answers are going to be multiple M's. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Okay. He made a cameo in Annie Hall.
Marshall McLuhan.
You're right. What's his catchphrase?
It's about the media. Media is the message. The media is the message.
There are your M's. Keep your
lips the massage.
Are you ready?
Yep.
A member of the fifth dimension.
Marilyn McCoo.
You got it. Okay. Bombshell of the 1950s.
Marilyn Monroe.
And a movie she starred in?
Money or million something? Something with million.
How to marry a millionaire.
Okay.
Okay. Cultural anthropologist.
Margaret Mead.
Yes. Okay. Author of Gone with the Wind.
Margaret Mitchell.
Okay. And the off-screen bosses in Glenn Ross.
Great
movie. They keep threatening that these guys are going to let them have it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell...
Aunt Mary.
Think of Al Pacino. I'm going to report you. I'm going to tell blank and blank.
Marilyn Manson.
No. Oh, you don't remember?
I don't. Kara?
Who gave them the quota?
I don't remember.
Right. We just don't remember the quote from
Mitch
the...
Like,
we
Murray.
Remember the concept, just...
Mitch and what Murray.
Okay.
Mitch and Murray. Okay.
Mitch and Murray. Okay, last one. A very popular candy and its namesake.
M&M's.
Named for? The founders
Mars
of the
and
company.
Mars and...
Yes.
I don't remember the other guy's name. Murray. Is it Mars and Murray?
Mars
yes.
And Murray.
How did you know?
Wow. Good.
Very good.
Mars and Murray. And what's the slogan?
They'll melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
Melt in your mouth. Okay. And what's the best radio show?
Minds Over Matter.
All right.
You've got all the ends. Congratulations.
Have a great holiday. Thanks for the call.
Okay, you too. Bye bye.
All right. Kara, let's take a new question. What do you got?
All right. I got some words that are derived from various Native American languages. So I'll give you the word, and you tell me the language from which it was derived. So the first one I have, a nice Thanksgiving-y word, is squash. Now, the word squash as a verb was already in English, but the word squash, referring to the fruit, came into English in the 1600s. I think the 1620s, but I could be wrong. 1600s via what Native American language? And then a little bit, I will also say that squash came to us from the same source as the word caucus, which is a fun word and also vaguely Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving-y. A little bit easier, I'll also ask for chocolate, barbecue, kayak, and pecan.
Those are all different source languages?
Those are all different sources, Native American languages.
So go through the whole list again.
So we have squash or caucus, as you prefer, same language, chocolate, barbecue, kayak, and pecan.
Wow.
Okay. Does pecan is so? These are all Native American languages, correct?
Yes. Now they're not all necessarily. They're all in our hemisphere. They're not all necessarily in the on the North American continent, though.
So, for pecan, is it like one of the southern nations?
Oh, I can see why you ask that. It is not, actually.
Okay.
I will say that is one of the Native American peoples that is based in what's along the U.S.-Canadian border now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Boy.
Gosh.
So I don't know. In fact, I'm not gonna guess. I think I'll appear foolish. But Cameron, go ahead.
Okay. Well, so pecan is not what I was thinking. So I'm gonna take a guess with chocolate. Does it just based on where it was grown? Is it Aztec?
I will give that to you. It's Nahuatl, which is the general
the language.
Region. Yes. So the language is Nahuatl, and chocolate is derived from that. So nice job. That's a bell.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that a bell?
Oh, we got the bell.
We got the bell. A reminder, our phone numbers are 415-841-4134 and 866-798-8255. Be sure to call in. We need lots of calls. Cameron, how about another question from you?
No, wait a second. You said we have the bell, but then I didn't hear the bell.
Oh, I gave the bell, didn't I?
No.
You're not?
You just bragged about having it. What's that?
Got to more enthusiastically ring the bell.
Okay. I'll be a much better bell. I'm handling a lot of things here, so I'll try
fair.
To be better on the bell.
Fair enough. Okay. So I have a question about two famous filmmakers and the two movies that resulted from this situation. So a famous filmmaker once promised to eat his shoe if another filmmaker, who at the time was only a student, actually made the film that he was always talking about. Who were the two filmmakers, and what two films resulted from the situation?
And was the student of the director?
I don't believe directly the student of the first person, no.
Okay, so say before you get to the second question, say that one again.
Yes. Okay, so there was a famous filmmaker who once promised to eat his shoe if another filmmaker, at the time only a student, actually made the film he was always talking about. Who were the two filmmakers, and what two films resulted from this situation? I realize this is a little vague, so as we go on, I can give some hints if necessary.
The guy who actually eats his shoe, he's German, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have his name. I can hear his voice, but I've lost it.
Well, his voice is very notable.
Yes. Joanne, our board op, has a guest, and it's Werner Herzog. And
that's it. Yeah, because they made a film. Werner Herzog eats his shoe, right?
Yes. So, Joanne, you're partially correct. Werner Herzog was the person who promised to eat his shoe. Les Blank directed one of the resulting movies, which starred Werner Herzog.
But we're still missing something.
We're still missing the person who made the movie that the bet was made about.
Okay. Very good, Joanne. Now, did you hear that bell? I didn't give a bell for that. And what's the second question?
I can give you a second question.
That's okay. Yeah. Let's go to a call. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
This is Kurt in San Francisco.
Kurt, how you doing?
I'm good. I've got a question. In the 19th century, England imported more of one type of agricultural raw material than any other country in the world. And it imported more of this resource from as many as three different continents. What was it?
I don't know why I think it's rubber, but is it?
No, it's a good guess. It was not rubber. Okay. Anyone else?
How about, go ahead, Kira.
Was it chocolate or tea?
No, it was not.
Okay.
This is a raw material. Raw material.
How about guano?
Excellent guess. Excellent guess. You're on the right track.
On the right track.
Okay. The right track with guano? I'll let you stay on that track, Kim. What else is on that track?
Some other kind of fertilizer, phosphate-based fertilizer.
You're getting warm now.
Okay. that might be as far as I go.
Yeah, that might be the last pun you're allowed to give.
Okay.
Let's see. So give us a hint if we're close.
Okay. Well, I think any more hints and we'd be right. Okay. I'd be giving it away. So. Okay.
So guano is on the right track and we're getting warm.
Okay. Yeah.
And is it a product that comes from animals?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it just manure in general?
It is a type of manure.
A certain type of manure. Okay.
Well, but it's not.
In a broad sense, yes, in a broad sense.
I think we're missing the key to this.
Don't want to prolong this too long.
Is it the stuff that comes from whales that is like whale vomit that people eat?
No, that's a good one, but You got anything else? I'll just give it to you.
Such a good pre-Thanksgiving question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was human bones.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Human bones. It was found that that they have, when they're crushed up, they have enormous value in nitrogen and phosphate. And for some reason, it was believed that human bones have more value than, say, animal bones. And they were believed to be extremely valuable. And when this became common knowledge in the early 19th century, then they became a commodity. And in England, which had poor soils, the English, being practical people, turned first to their own paupers' graveyards and depleted those. And then they turned to the continent, and they... they turned to the battlefields, the great battlefields of the European wars, Waterloo and Austerlitz and Leipzig and the Crimea, and they paid a tremendous amount for human skeletons.
Wow!
That's a great holiday question. Thank you very much.
And, and over the course of the 19th century, they paid for human skeletons by the hundreds of thousands, and then they turned to Egypt. They exhumed the bodies of slaves.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. And this went on throughout the 19th century.
Well, I asked for eclectic questions, and we have one. That's great. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you. Have a great holiday. Take it easy. Okay, let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. This is Sparky and Maddie in Connecticut. How are you?
Sparky and Maddie, how are you doing?
All righty.
Great.
All right.
Good to hear from you.
Kira, I have to presume some of those words have to come from the Algonquin.
Oh. Would you like to presume which ones, or are you just... that okay. is a blanket statement.
No, that is a blanket statement. Say, like, pecan or squash.
Oh, those are very good guesses. So squash and caucus are both from the Algonquin... are directly from Algonquin. Pecan, you're kind of right, because it is a people that kind of get lumped in with the Algonquins, but I'm going to still leave that one out. But definitely a bell for squash. It comes from the Narragansett people.
Narragansett.
Yep.
Yeah, that's in Rhode Island. And, of course, Connecticut is, I believe, an Algonquin name, too. Which comes to mean, like, here, something like that.
Anyway. Okay, that is a bell that I'm still waiting to hear. There we go.
I thought I belled. Keep prompting
right.
me.
And now a baseball question, sort Wait. Of.
Ooh.
Ooh. Excellent. Don't tell Dana.
Nora, Pennsylvania boasts two baseball Hall of Famers. And coincidentally enough, they were both born on this date, or yesterday, November 20th or 21st. But they were both born on have the same birth date. One was born in 1920, the other in 1969.
Wow. And these are both Hall of Famers?
They are both Hall of Famers.
Did they play in Pennsylvania?
Both born in Denora, Pennsylvania.
So is one Mike Schmidt?
No.
What? 69 in the year 1920. And okay. So one played in the 40s, and one played in the, we would say, the
90s.
80s and 90s. 80s and 90s. And played for either the Pirates or the Phillies. How about Willie Stargell?
No.
Oh.
In fact, the one born in 1920 played for the same team, started like 1939 or so, and ended his career in 1963.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
So played 25 years. I should know this person.
Yeah, and this is all you, Lori.
Yeah. Did they play? Can you tell me if they played for the Phillies or the Pirates, or do you not want
to?
Okay.
He did not play for either the Phillies or the Pirates.
Oh, but played in Pennsylvania.
Right? Yeah, neither of them played in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm thinking, okay.
They happened to be born in the same Very, very small town.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That was where my mind was thinking. That's what I was thinking, all Pennsylvania. Kira, do you want to hop in here?
I do not.
Well, I think, Sparky, we're going to need that. We're going to need a hint.
I'll give you two more hints.
Yeah.
One played in Seattle, and the other played in St. Louis.
Okay. Well, the Seattle one was the one born in 1969, right? And is that Ken,
very good?
Is that Ken Griffey?
It is Ken Griffey.
Okay. Jr.
There's a bell. And the other one played in St. Louis through 1963. So that sounds a little bit like Stan Musial.
It's got to be Stan Musial, the man.
All right. Whew. Nice. Very good. Thanks, Sparky. Happy holidays to you and Manny.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving. We're done.
Okay. The phone numbers to call in are, once again, 415-841-4134 and 866-798-8255. And we're a little bit past halfway in the show. So, Kira, what do we have left for you?
Just looking for the Native American languages that gave us the words barbecue, kayak, and pecan. That's three different languages.
Great. Cam, what do we have for you?
Okay. I have, I'm looking for three of the United States cities with the highest percentage population of Native American Indians. And I am wondering who the student filmmaker was that Werner Herzog told he would eat his shoe if he made his first movie. And then I'm also looking for the name of the movie that filmmaker made and the movie about Werner Herzog eating his shoe.
Okay. We know one city's in Arizona. I would just go for the big one. How about Phoenix?
It is not Phoenix.
Yeah. All right. No bell there. My outstanding question has to do with the Macy's Day Parade, which started in 1924. In 1933, when Mickey Mouse first appeared, the only time Macy's had a full-size balloon of a living person, a show business personality, who was that? And then before Mickey Mouse, there were five characters who were represented by balloons. We have the Cats and Jammer Kids and Felix the Cat. I'm looking for three others. All pre-Mickey Mouse, so they're all time.
Go ahead, Kira.
Actually, in the Werner Herzog question, the student filmmaker is now a very big name. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Right. Is it a non-American by any chance?
No, I believe he's American. Okay. I don't want to swear to that because I actually don't know for sure. But
okay, because for a second I was thinking it was like James Cameron or something like that, but I guess not.
No.
Okay.
Lori, can I guess for another cartoon?
Yes.
How about Little Abner?
No. I think Little Abner is after that. And you know what? I don't even know if he's on the list. He probably is, but he's not. He's not before 1933.
It'd be a weird balloon.
Yeah, it would be. Or Daisy May would be weird too. I have a list question I'm going to ask to continue, and then we'll get back to the phones here. But I wanted to get this one in because it has to do with thanks more generally. This is songs that have the word thanks or thank you in the title. I've asked a version of this before, and I like it. And you can, if you know right away, you could ask because I'm going to give the lyric. The first one is the low-hanging fruit is, well, I got a fine wife. I got me a fiddle. When the sun's come up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Anybody?
Thank God I'm a country boy.
There's a bell for you. Okay. The next ones are harder. Here's number two. Of cushions on the floor, hash with Dinty Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore. That's number two. Remember, it has thanks or thank you in the title. Okay. Number three is, anybody know that one?
No.
Nope.
If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac, whatever you need, any time of the night or day. And the hint on that one, it's from the lyrics to a TV theme song. If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac, whatever you need, anytime.
Oh, that's unfair. It's barely a theme. That lyric isn't in the theme song to Thank You for Being a Friend.
So why was it unfair? That lyric's
not because it's not. It's from the full song. Thank You for Being a Friend was re-recorded by Andrew Gold it was Andrew Gold.
Wow, that is very. I did
since and then re-recorded without that lyric, but okay. Yes, whatever.
Well, you still nailed it, even though it was unfair. Number four is I could tell the world a thing or two about our love. I know, little girl, only a fool would doubt our love.
Did he just rhyme love with love?
They did.
It called shenanigans.
They did. No, no, they did.
It's not a real song.
Unacceptable.
Number five is, you made me feel like I've never felt. Kisses so good, I had to holler for help. That's actually my favorite one. And the last one isn't a song with thank you in the title, but it involves thank yous. And it is a lyric that part of it is, hurrah for the fun is the pudding done. Hurrah for the pumpkin pie.
That's hurrah for the fun is the pudding. That's to grandmother's house we go.
It is over the river and through the house. Okay. Yeah. So the three that are out there are Of Cushions on the Floor, Hash with Dinty Moore, That Pair of Gay Pajamas That You Bought and Never Wore. The second one out there is I Could Tell the World a Thing or Two About Our Love. I Know, Little Girl, Only a Fool Would Doubt Our Love, despite Kara's raised eyebrow. And you made me feel like I've never felt. Kisses so good, I had to holler for help. So we'll leave those three out there. And, oh, yes, Joanne just got the one, the Dinty Moore one. It is Thanks for the Memory, the only one nominated for Academy Awards, sung by Bob Hope, always on his show, the Hash with Dinty Moore, The Pair of Gay Pajamas. Ooh. All right, we're back to the phones now. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
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 You're on.
I'm on the air. Okay. I want to answer the question about the Macy's parade balloon.
Great. Yeah.
Was Betty Boop ever a character?
You know, I think she was, but it was later.
Okay.
I'm not positive she was, but it would have been after 1933, so not Betty Boop. Okay. Good guess.
And the celebrity, was that Eddie Cantor?
Oh, it was Eddie Cantor indeed. The only one, only human who was represented in full-life balloons. Nice work. I'll give you a second bell.
And I have about the Native Americans. Anchorage, Alaska? Is that one of the cities that...
It is not. I was surprised by that as well, but it is not.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks. Great show.
Thank you, and have a nice holiday. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, same to you. Bye-bye.
Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome.
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, is the word kayak, does that come from the Inuit?
It does, specifically Greenlandic Inuit. Inuit is correct. And I heard that, Bill. Hooray.
Yes.
And then Native American cities. Oakland, California?
Oh.
You know, no, that is on the list. I forget where it's in the top, like 20, but it's not on the list.
We'll give you a short bell.
What about Scottsdale? Scottsdale, Arizona.
Not Scottsdale.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Thanks so much. Have a good holiday. Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you know the name of a musical, operetta, by Brazil's most famous composer, Villa-Lobos, which was performed at the Ziegfeld, the Curran, all over? It was called Magdalena. And do you know about this musical? It starred John Raitt. It starred John Raitt, Dorothy Sarnoff, Ira Patina, and Hugo Haas. And do you know the name? Do you know anything about it? Magdalena.
I do not. Cameron.
I should know. I should know. I'm 80 years old now, but I starred in it.
No
I'm
kidding.
I'm 80 years old, but I starred in it.
Where did you do that? Where,
do you know any information? Does anyone know who calls into you about Magdalena?
You called in the wrong week because sometimes we have the San Francisco Chronicle's music critic here who is an expert in such things. That's Josh Cosman. And Dana knows a lot about it, too. So it's unfortunate that you called the week that neither of them are here.
Called on Sports Week.
One more comment. Your person who phoned in a few weeks ago talked about bouillabaisse, and he was so wrong. I'm sorry that maybe people got sick on it. What he said about bouillabaisse, maybe making cookie bouillabaisse.
Oh no!
Okay,
well, we stand corrected.
I hope not.
I'll give you a bell for the correction.
Bye bye.
So much.
Bye bye.
That was a nice story. Thank you. Kira Cameron, do you have a short question to toss in to the mix?
Sure. Okay, well, just piggybacking off of Lori's Thanksgiving Day parade question, I want to know what character has appeared as a balloon the most often in the history of the parade?
Of the Macy's Day Parade?
Yes.
So if I went with Mickey Mouse, would I be wrong?
You would be wrong.
All right. Kira, who would you go with?
Snoopy.
It is Snoopy. Nice.
Ah.
Very good.
I've got kind of an 80s question for you, which is typically too late for the show. All right. So in a game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, ooh, Kevin Bacon can connect to Christopher Lloyd through what actress who was in Hollow Man with Bacon and Back to the Future Part 2 with Lloyd?
Wow.
And I have a follow-up question.
Is it Leah Thompson?
It is not Leah Thompson.
Okay. I haven't seen Hollow Man.
I forget who's... So this is the female lead of Back to the Future 2?
I not wouldn't lead? Go that far. There wasn't really
she's
a
just
female
in it.
Lead. She is in it, though.
Okay. Let's leave that out there. Did you have a... I don't know. Do you have a follow-up to that question? Or do
well,
you
I do have answer? Kind of a question, just to who has been in... who has been in, I think it's 7 movies now, with Christopher Lloyd, and yet has never had a scene where... she speaks with Christopher Lloyd.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't even know there were 7 Christopher Lloyd movies. So this woman has been in 7 movies with him, but never in the same.
Yeah, sorry, that's kind of an ad hoc question. It's right around 7. It might even be more.
Wow.
Currently, she is in a she's in a Hallmark Christmas movie with Christopher Lloyd. And she has a lovely picture with him. Like maybe next time they'll let us speak together.
So it's not Leah Thompson, I guess, right?
That one is Leah Thompson.
Oh, it is. That's hilarious.
That's great.
Okay. Oh, wait. I have another guess on. So Elizabeth Shue is in Back to the Future, too. Is it Elizabeth Shue?
It's Elizabeth Shue. That's right. Okay.
Nice work. Hmm? And I'll ask my short question, then we'll go back to the phones. Dorcas Riley is excellent. A woman who in 1955 did something that has made her legendarily important to the history of Thanksgiving.
She wrote the recipe for Campbell's soup. Is it green bean casserole?
Yes.
Yes. She worked for Campbell's soup. Oh, that you nailed. And I read that 50% of the cream of mushroom soup is sold between for Thanksgiving and Christmas of the entire year. Dorcas Riley gets credit for that incredible recipe, which we will all be enjoying or enjoying in quotation marks in a week. Anyway, Jack Cameron, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have almost that exact same question written down. Okay, you and I are on the same wavelength.
All right. And well, I'll throw in this. She donated the recipe card that she wrote the original recipe on. This will be the follow-up question. Where is it right now?
The Smithsonian.
No. But that's a really good guess. It's someplace.
Andy Warhol Museum. No. You say it's Andy Warhol Museum.
That's another good guess. We'll leave that out.
Nope.
Guess? Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's go back to the phones here. We have about 10 minutes left here. Hi, welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
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 This is Ron from Oakland.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Pretty good. Want to give a stab at the Herzog question because I happen to be there that night.
Oh. Wow.
And I believe that the other filmmaker is Errol Morris.
It is, yes.
And the movie had to be his first film, which was Gates of Heaven.
Yes, excellent. Good job.
And I'm going to up the ante on you guys. What theater, Bay Area theater, did Mr. Herzog eat his shoe?
Oh, was it a movie theater?
Yes, it was.
How about the Surf Interplayers?
Nope.
That's an old theater.
It was on the East Bay side.
Was it the Fox in Oakland?
No, that's a good guess.
Or the Paramount?
Nope, it wasn't in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
In Berkeley?
Yes, in Berkeley.
So there aren't many theaters. There's the California.
Shattuck and the Cinema.
Shattuck.
You're getting very warm.
How about the UA?
You're not very hot. You got one of the initials correct.
The UA? Okay, I've done my job.
The UC theater.
Oh, that's right.
Interesting.
A university. Oh, that's great.
Okay. So just, do you know the name of the film made about Werner Herzog eating his shoe?
I thought that it was called Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe.
It's called Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe. Excellent. Yeah. Great job.
And also, here's the last tidbit. Where did the bet originate at? Ooh. Also a Berkeley venue.
Oh, I don't know.
So what year was this? Did it happen?
1970, mid-70s. Because the film Gates of Heaven was 78.
Was it on campus?
Yes.
Sproul Plaza?
No. It was also at a movie theater. A movie theater on campus.
Oh.
Oh, is it the what's now the Pacific Film Archives?
Correct.
Okay.
Because
what was it called that?
Because Morris used to hang out there and see all the movies, and Herzog was there, and I guess Morris used to bug Herzog about it, and that's when Herzog issued the challenge. So
that's
all a Berkeley deal.
I love that you were there. That's amazing.
Me too. And we had the caller who was in Magdalene, and this caller. This is very good. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Have a great holiday. Bye bye.
You too. Thanks.
Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Fran.
Hey, Fran. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. You?
Great. We're doing well.
Good to hear your voice. There was a dance created by Twyla Tharp for the Joffrey Ballet, and it combined ballet with other dance. It was very famous. I'd like to know the name of the dance performance. Twyla Tharp.
Was this the one she did with the Beach Boys?
Yes.
Was it Little Deuce Coupe?
Yes.
Or something? Yeah.
Deuce Coupe.
Yeah.
Of course, you would know. I'm glad you know it. She did use the Beach Boys and other rock and roll in the in it.
Very good.
Yeah.
You have more questions?
Yeah. What was the first department store? I hope this is right. In New York. First department store, 1857, dry goods store, but department store.
Woolworths?
No.
Gimbel's?
Department. No.
Ooh. Cameron?
I'm going to say Macy's. I don't actually have a great
good
guess.
Good idea. No, not Macy's.
Kresge's.
Oh, wait a second. What year is it? 1825.
1825.
Sorry.
So, that changes.
It became a department store in 1857. It started as a dry goods store in 1825.
Well, what about Sears and Roebuck?
No.
And it wasn't Kresge's, right? You heard that question, that answer?
This is a department store, like later for clothing and all kinds of fine stuff.
Yeah.
Bloomingdale's.
Yeah. No.
JCPenney.
Bloomingdale's is closer.
Okay.
Barney's.
Neiman Marcus?
Hmm?
Say it again, Kira.
Oh, I said Neiman Marcus and Cameron said
Barney's. No. I'm going to tell you, it was Arnold Constable.
Okay.
Oh.
We'll give you a ball for that. Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Lori, what do you teach, please?
I'm an English teacher at Diablo Valley College.
Thank you. I wanted to know. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
You can take my class next semester. Thank you. Okay. Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi there. It's us, Danny and Sandra in Albania.
Hey, Sandra and Danny. How are you doing?
Thanksgiving puffin.
Yes, the puffin. Sandra, you have one answer.
Tempe, Arizona.
It is not Tempe, Arizona.
Tucson, darn it. That's what I meant. Tucson.
It is Tucson. Good job.
That's the one.
6.1% Native American population. Great.
Hey, and as for the balloon animal, early on, was one of them that dinosaur? I forget the name of the dinosaur. Millie the dinosaur
Gertie?
Or something? From the
You might be thinking Gertie.
Gertie dinosaur.
Yeah, that's a great guess done by, I forget the name of the cartoonist.
Wender McKay.
And the only other possibility for me would be the yellow kid, but that might be too early.
Yeah, it's not the yellow kid, and it's not Gertie the dinosaur. Neither are correct.
Okay, well, that's all we got.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, bye. You too. Thank you. Go ahead, Karen.
Can I guess another cartoon? How about Little Nemo, speaking of Winsor McKay?
Oh, yeah. It's another great guess, but not Little Nemo. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, we still have some time. Another caller. Hi, welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi. Hi there. Hi.
Hi.
I have an answer for the lyrics. I don't remember all of them, but it was something like "Kiss is so good they make me holler for help."
Yes.
Is it "I Thank You" by Sam and Dave?
It absolutely is. Right. And it's a fun thing to say. "Kiss is so good I had to holler for help." Really good work. Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. That was worth a good bell. Okay. Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Elsa calling from Berkeley.
Elsa, Minneapolis.
Is Minneapolis one of the cities with a high Native American population?
It is not. Great guess, but no. There are two left, okay. And Minneapolis is not one of them.
Okay, is it Minnesota?
It is not in Minnesota, no.
Not in Minnesota. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Cameron, why don't you tell us the states that are missing, and that might help people
guess. Okay, there is one in California and one in Oklahoma.
Okay, next caller. Hi. Next caller,
ahead.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, you know what? Earlier when you were talking about the Werner Herzog film and Les Blank, do you know what film Les Blank made about Werner Herzog other than Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe?
I don't. Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay. He did make a very extravagant film. It's called Burden of Dreams. It's about Herzog making the film Fitzcarraldo, which was a horrendous film to watch.
Burden of Dreams is actually a great film. It's
but it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I think we can take one more call. Hi, welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how about the Seminole tribe for the pecan?
It is not the Seminole.
Okay.
It's a tribe from farther north.
And New York City for the Native American populated city.
No, you know, that was on the first list that I found, which turned out to be from 2013. But the more updated list, it is not included in the top five.
Okay. And do you guys know how many ways there are to say the name Andrea?
Gosh.
It's my sister's middle name. I should know. Andrea?
Andrea.
I'm going to say four.
You're right.
Okay. Do you want to say them all for us? Go ahead.
Andrea. I think
perfect.
That's one.
That's very good. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You too.
I don't want to rush at the end. So I think we'll clean up here. Kara, what do you have left?
All right, so barbecue comes to us from the Taino people, who would have accepted Arawak as well. They're Caribbean. And pecan or pecan comes to us from Ojibwe, which is they have a big population like in Michigan area.
Nice. And that it?
Yep, that's it.
All right, Cameron, what do you have?
Okay, so the two outstanding cities with the highest percentage of Native American population is at number two, Stockton, California, with 7.8%. And at number four, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, at 7.6%.
Nice.
That's all I got.
We got all the Werner Herzog questions.
We got all the Werner Herzog answers, yeah.
All right. Dorcas Riley, who invented the green bean casserole, the card on which he invented it is now in the Inventors Hall of Fame, which I don't think of recipes as being invented, but I like that. The one that Kara complained about, the song lyric, "I could tell the world a thing or two about our love. I know, little girl, only a fool would doubt our love." It is "Thank You, Girl" by the Beatles. I got to do is "Thank You, Girl." And then last, the cartoon characters, the ones we didn't get are a little more obscure. The three we got Eddie Cantor, Felix the Cat, and the Kents and Jammer Kids. We did not get Barney Google with the Google googly eyes. And then two, I don't know well, Joe Hinks and Boob McNutt. He is a cartoon drawn by.
Are you people. Sure that wasn't just an edited wiki page? Because that name sounds like an edited wiki page.
You know, I felt the same thing. So I looked it up separately. And that was a cartoon that Rube Goldberg did in the 20s and 30s. So That could have been a fake page too. Anyway, I want to thank all our listeners for calling in. I want to thank Joanne Marr for running the board, Kira Pace, and Cameron Shaw for being on the panel. Thank you very much. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for calling in tonight. Have a really, really happy Thanksgiving. We'll all be back here. Some of us will be back here next Sunday. We're here every Sunday night at 5 o'clock, and we're online after that. So have a good holiday. Thank you all very much. And see you in the future. Take care of yourselves.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.